going through a little withdrawals from all the kissing and everything that they do there. You know, I think, you know, I'll never forget one of my Argentine friends came in and said, nobody likes me here. I haven't been kissed one time the whole time I've been in America, you know. So I always go through a little bit of withdrawals after that. I just came this week. Oh, my goodness, it was incredible. I am just full of the anointing is all I can say. We had such an amazing time. This is a full circle time. I mean, being here tonight, you know, we were sharing, I think it's been 10 years. We were just getting ready to do 40 days of 24-hour prayer at Christ of the Nations. Steve was reminding me the last time I was here, which, you know, he was sharing, launched the UN to 3 or 4 years of 24-hour intercession here. And so it's just remarkable. I think, didn't I meet you, Randy and Edie, in Argentina? Yeah, weren't you with Harvest then? Yeah, that's how we met. They're now in Thailand, and we've been with them in Thailand and doing a spectacular job. Let's honor them. Stand up. They're missionaries in Thailand. Stand, Randy and Edie Nelson. And they're doing a fabulous job, you know, there. And God is using them in such a great way. And so I feel like I'm redigging my own wells. Now, you know, you're really getting up there when you redig your own wells. But if you'd allow me, since I just came, you know, a week ago I was preaching for a friend, Claudia Frazen. And I was, you know, thinking about when I first preached for Claudio in 92, I prophesied he would buy the whole city block where his church was located, both sides, and that he should go buy a disco first. I didn't even know there was a discotheque in that block, but they went and bought it, and they've systematically torn down building by building by building by building. And it was just a blessing to preach in that huge sanctuary, and the fire of God fell. I was up in the north preaching in Salta, kind of a colonial town at the base of the Andes. And the miracles, I tell you, I have such faith. We're going to see miracles. I was preaching in Salta, and, you know, the Lord has really given me this rhema, which probably is not a rhema to you, but it, you know, was just something fresh to me, that God hasn't stopped being a creator, that he can create today, right? That's right. He's not out of creation power, right? And so one of the things I think we saw manifested the most were creative miracles, just extraordinary things. I remember one night I said, I want everybody has metal in your body, metal rods, pins, wires, to come up to the front. And as you come, I want you to start running. And, I mean, it was mayhem. I mean, they were godly mayhem. I mean, they were running. And Mike noticed this one little girl over here just leaping and running, jumping up and down. She's about 10. And we got her story. Her legs were so crooked like this that she could hardly walk, and they were completely straight. I mean, God just went, phoop, like that, straightened those legs out. It was glorious, glorious, glorious. I mean, people with a metal rod down your back, you cannot bend and touch your toes. And they were bending and touching their toes and rods and legs. I mean, they'd show us the scarring, but, you know, like this. I mean, they're running everywhere. It was glorious. And we probably had 500 saved in those two nights. It was so wonderful. Signs and wonders really are an advertisement that God is real. And then we went, and I was preaching in Buenos Aires, and my book, Reformation Manifesto. I don't know if you've seen that book, Reformation Manifesto, but it's literally changing governments around the world. And some of the churches there, that, you know, Latin America have taken it. You know, Latin America never had a Protestant Reformation, but they're having one now. And it's really starting from that book. It's exciting, if you allow me to share. I mean, they're starting micro banks. you know, they call themselves reformers, and they're taking it very serious. And it was just glorious. And then I preached in Osvaldo Carnival's church, and they're having a week of sanctification. And what they do in the churches there, you know, they bring their magic, their occult objects. And so it was so much fun. I just had a blast. And they're bringing big bags, and they're putting the love potion up there, you know, and the amulets and, you know, charms. And I said, yeah, okay, everybody get rid of your stuff. Well, all right, come on, those of you didn't take off those amulets. So they're coming, peeling them off their wrist and their necks, and they're throwing them up on the pile. And oh, I mean, I'm in my element. I'm just having so much fun there, you know. And so I remember one night I said, there's somebody here, you're calling me a false prophet, you're saying I'm not a god. And you have to understand, this place is so jam-packed. Balconies, packed and packed, people waiting down the streets to get in. I mean, just didn't get better than that, you know, and it was so glorious. And so Ben, I said, come up here right now. Get up here. I challenged him. Well, he didn't come. But the next night, what happened was the guy that was there actually used to go to a friend of mine's church and had a split with him, but he started shaking. The power of God hit him. He shook all night. He shook all night the next day. So he probably thought, if I'm ever going to stop shaking, I better go confess. So the next night, not only did he shake, he came up to the platform, but I had prayed for people with metal in their bodies, and he got completely healed. He had metal all in his body. God took it away, changed the bone. And, I mean, he was weeping. He was confessing that he thought I was a false prophet, and he was so sorry. He apologized for his pastor, for, you know, all the stuff he did with his pastor. Now, that's church. I'm telling you, that is church. It was glorious, glorious. And that night I just saw it, and I can feel the healing anointing. You know, I mean, do you want to have church as usual, or do you want to have the book of Acts? You want to have the book of Acts? Okay, very good. I'm glad you agree with the Holy Spirit. So anyway, next night I was praying. I said, there's people, tumors are melting. And this one woman came up, she was pregnant, she'd had big tumors all in her neck and a huge tumor. The doctor said, you might die when you have the baby. I mean, I couldn't tell she'd ever had a tumor. Just completely, every tumor disappeared. I mean, tumors were literally melting. Deaf ears were popping open. I mean, people that couldn't walk were walking. And so with that, if you need any healing in your body, just stand up. I feel, come on, anything. Even if your baby toe hurts, you know, okay? I told that to one meeting one time, and I looked at this lady and said, take off your shoe, and this corn she had on her toe just fell off on the floor, you know? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke every spirit of infirmity. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command it to go. In the name of Jesus, leave right now. I say, be healed. Father, I thank you for healing cataracts. They're leaving. I thank you right now for tumors. Somebody has a tumor in your liver. It's leaving. Somebody else has a fibroid tumor. It's melting. It's disappearing. Go in the name of Jesus. Be healed. And I want to ask you to do something right now. If you've had loss of mobility, I want you to get out in the aisle right now. Any kind of loss of mobility. You can't run, shortness of breath, asthma. Go on. Get up. Hurry. I don't have a lot of time. Let's not mess around. Okay? Yeah, there we go. Just start running. Come on. Run. Any loss of mobility of any kind, you know, anything. We have saw so many people healed of asthma. Yeah, come on. Go. All you that couldn't run. Yeah, we love this running because now you're running. Now you have. Look at that. Wow. Somebody had shin splints. Get out and run because you're going to be able to run. Yeah. Who was the person that had shin splints? Come on. Up here. Who's healed? Get up here now. Up, hurry. What is this? You're so orderly. You run around, you get healed, you go back to your seat. Oh, this is America. I forgot this is America. Okay. Oh, come on. Come up here. Come on. Who got healed? Quickly. What happened with you, Pastor?
My arch got healed. Yeah. So I can walk and walk and walk and walk again in the presence.
And surfing. Yeah, that's very good. Now, the Lord says, I'm bringing you into a new season of healing. God says the healing anointing has been on you, and you have ministered in it. But God says now you're going to see. Can you feel that? Yeah. I feel that. You know where that thing, it says virtue, you know, when I'm feeling that. So, Lord, I thank you. Come on. This is a charismatic church. Okay. Now, Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus for healing right now. The healing virtue, that's not the only thing being healed. There's something in your back God is healing right now. I don't know if it was an old, like, surfing injury. Yeah, you have some of that. Okay, well, those old surfing injuries are being healed right now. Wow, that's very, very. Don't you have ushers in the church? It's very hard to pray for the sick here. Can I say that? We're going to have to work on this a little bit. Yeah. Book of Acts stuff. Where you bend over and get up. See if you're healed. Do it. Bend over. Yep. This is the back thing. Up. How are we doing? Down again. Yep. How you feeling? Good? No pain? You're healed. Amen. Okay. Who had the asthma? Who had the asthma? Couldn't run and ran around. No shortness of breath. You were the first one. I saw your bouncy little self.
Yes. It's better. It's a lot better, but it's still...
Be healed in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, be healed. That's because you have some scarring on your lungs. Have you ever had like really bad, either bronchitis, something like that, some kind of bronchial condition when you were little?
No,
you don't know.
Little,
yeah.
I get it every year.
Yeah, I think it came from when you were little. Originally. Father, I just speak to the scarring of these lungs in the name of Jesus. Go. Yeah, go in Jesus' name. Be healed. Yeah, that's you're going to feel much better now. Okay, who had some metal in their body and they couldn't bend over? Come up here. Who'll do it? Madeline, you ready? Come here and testify while they're coming. Did you come up to say something about?
I've had asthma and wasn't able to run and haven't even been able to walk very far. And I got around twice.
Well, just do it a little bit for us. Go, girl. There you go. Very nice. Come on, somebody get excited. Somebody has a compressed spine, and you are shorter than you used to be. Who knows you have a compressed spine? You went to the doctor, and the doctor said you are X amount, whatever, shorter. Who is it? Come here. Where are you? Come. Yes. Come right here. How much shorter are you? Confess.
An inch and a quarter.
An inch and a quarter. Okay, so just stand right there. Stand right there. Okay. Now, don't hold your head still because we want everybody to see when yourself gets a little taller, okay? Okay. About an inch and a quarter. In the name of Jesus, I speak to this spine. Grow. More. Here it comes. More. Grow. Stretch. Oh, there it goes. Yeah. More. You got to keep your head level. I can't tell when we're growing. Okay, yeah. He's a difficult case. Okay. Yeah. You can see people grow. I saw somebody grew 4 inches one time. In the name of Jesus, a bit more. Yeah. Now that pain is going to have to leave in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Have you ever had like any sciatic stuff, anything going on? Sciatic, yes, you do, don't you? Well, Father, I just thank you that sciatic pain is leaving now. Yeah, in fact... Yeah, I speak to the leg that's short in the name of Jesus, and I say, grow. Let's look at your shoulder. There it went. See, the, you couldn't tell, but his shoulders, you see, one was a little droopy, and he's looking good now. There you go. So we'll have to measure yourself, okay? All right. Amen. All right. Now, some of you may not be aware that you've already had a miracle, but, and, you know, we always say this, don't stop taking your meds or anything like that or be stupid, but, you know, I mean, many of you will find that your symptoms cease, that you had a healing. There's somebody here that you came with stomach pains. In fact, there's somebody here, you were diagnosed with an ulcer. I can't see you for the lights, but who was diagnosed with an ulcer here? You had an ulcer. Anybody? You have an ulcer, or maybe you don't know you're diagnosed, but, I mean, you eat, and you hurt really bad inside when you eat. Where are you, stomach pain person? Come on. You came with stomach pain. Just, okay. So, well, be healed. Are you having pain right now? Are you still having it right now? If we have to think about it, believe me, we're not having it. Oh, Jesus, I'm in America. Help me, Jesus. Oh, they went about screaming, running around the room in Argentina. Okay, where's the ulcer person? Okay. Come here. Come here. We're having a little healing meeting. Okay. Okay, right here. You see your hand. Don't you have ushers in this place? Oh, Jesus. I'm trying. I'm really trying. Yeah. There's that joy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. There we go. Okay. Amen. Amen. Okay, that was Healing 101. Tomorrow we're going to do better and a little more. All right, why don't you hug somebody and be seated. Amen. All right. Actually, I have some friends with me tonight as my guests that just showed up. And David and Cindy Lane, will you stand up, please? These guys, I don't know if you know the Lanes, but I don't know what, he's so famous now. He's on all these famous lists of famous people. They call him the kingmaker kind of politically. Just, you know, let me brag. But we're very excited at, you know, what he's done. He's with American Renewal Project really being a massive engine. I think he's talking to 1,000 pastors to run for office, and we're so, so blessed. Let's clap our hands and thank God for the good work they're doing. And Sharon and I stand up too. Sharon came with me. Sharon and I, the Radiance, the Hollywood House of Prayer on Sunset Boulevard. And many other good friends that we have. Well, I was asked to speak on the power of one accord, but first I'm going to prophesy. For the Lord would say, I am bringing California into a season of reform. I am the reformer, and the Lord says, do not give up on this state, even though all looks bleak, for I am bringing that Jesus people movement. I am coming with a visitation, says the Lord, of awakening. God says, I'm going to awaken the church, and the church will awaken the state, and the state will awaken the nation, says the Lord. And many would say, oh, there is not a chance for California, but I am coming like a mighty rushing wind, says the Lord. I am coming to astound the wisdom of the wise. And the Lord says, look to the coastal cities, especially in the rural areas, because I have my people there that have been planning and praying. I have my people with values that will stand up for my word, says the Lord. And I am going to begin to move in the seemingly out of the way places, but from those places, I'm going to bring a convergence, and this convergence is going to lead to a reformation. And the Lord says it's going to impact Sacramento. Look, says the Lord, because I'm getting ready to shake up Sacramento one more time. I'm going to expose. There are some corrupt officials who thought they were so hidden that they could not be ferreted out and they could not be found. But I, the hound of heaven, says the Lord, know where they are and I see what they do. And God says, I'm going to expose at the state level. I'm going to shake some things by my mighty right hand of power. And God says, when I do this, even it will cause some very liberals to blush at what has been done. And God says there's going to be even some things exposed over water. There is a water war, but God says there has been some corruption that is in the system, says God. And I am getting ready to expose the corruption. And the Lord says, when I do it, you will read it in the LA Times. You will read it in the different in the newspaper, says God. I'm going to make it headline news, and it's going to shift some things in this state, says the Lord. Amen. Amen. Wow! Wow! Do it, Lord! Whoa! Well, the last time I gave a prophecy like that, I was in Sacramento with my friend Sammy Rodriguez and preaching for him, and I prophesied in his church, and right after that, what was that thing, the guy that was the, was he the Speaker of the House that got exposed, and he was in collusion with some of the Chinese Chinese mafia out of San Francisco or something. Anyway, there was a lot of exposure after that. So evidently, God is doing it again. He's going to do it again, round two. You know, it's very interesting when these prophetic words come because, you know, I remember one time I prophesied in the Philippines. It was before one of their elections, and I was prophesying. And the word was about corruption being exposed. In fact, there was even a warning. I was speaking to about 7,000 youth pastors in Baguio City. And I said something like this. I said, the Lord says, I'm giving you who are running for office time to repent. But if you do not repent, and then I just stopped because I didn't even want to say what I was hearing. But essentially, I stopped and I said, I fear for your life. I think two of the candidates dropped dead in that election cycle. I mean, I didn't want them to drop dead. You know, I'm like going, oh, Jesus, this is serious stuff, you know. And so God is in a time of shaking. And, you know, whenever there's an awakening, and, you know, I've been asked to speak on unity, so I'm going to do that. But I do want to say, whenever there is an awakening, and we are on the verge of a great, great, great awakening. And but whenever it is, you know, historically, it's always dark in the society. Before a great awakening, it's horrible. I mean, whether it's Wilberforce and what happened there, William Wilberforce, or Jeremiah Lamphere, or any of these historic meetings, and we're going to New York City next week. In fact, we're going to New York City to pray on Wall Street and the Federal Reserve for about the economy with all our 50 state generals, different our generals are coming. And it's just going to be phenomenal what takes place. I'm very, very excited. Then we'll be at Federal Hall April 30th, where we had the first Congress and George Washington prayed over the nation. So we're getting ready to do that. Very, very excited. We've been working with a couple of economists on that, and to get a strategy to pray. And I really feel the last time this is going to work. Last time we did this was before we planned this before the 08 shaking that we had. Was it a complete economic collapse? But and God spoke to me. There'll be no more business as usual, and there wasn't worldwide. No, there's since that day, it's not the same. But then God did great things, and I believe we're in for it. And right now, you know, don't let your soul get discouraged. It's very easy to look at things and say, you know, where are you, God? But God is active. He's alive. He's powerful. And, you know, so don't get in doubt, and don't let your emotions agree with the enemy. Can you say that? We are to live in the will of God, not in our emotions. It's not about an emotion. God's word is not an emotion. It is eternal truth. Amen? Clap your hands one more time. Amen! Well, I do believe this is a full circle season. Many of my wonderful friends, some I haven't seen. Candy, good to see you. I haven't seen you in forever. So very good to see you and different people here. Helena Wong. Helena's on our board of directors, so I always have to be very nice to her. yeah, pardon? Oh, I thought you weren't coming in until tomorrow. Dan and Vicki Norton, are you here? Stand up. I'm so sorry, I can't see you for the light. Dan and Vicki Norton are our generals here for the state of California, and they're doing just a spectacular job in NorCal. Is it Northern California? You're in Monterey. Yes, that's right. They're doing bringing Jesus to Monterey, and so we're very glad for that. I had thought you weren't coming in till the morning somehow. So we're going to talk about the power of one accord, and the title of this message is As One, the power of one accord. And Holy Spirit, I thank you, Lord, that there is a new ingathering of unity in the body of Christ in California. Lord, we thank you even by a wide, broad interpretation even of what some people would feel scripturally from crunchy evangelicals to juicy charismatics. Lord, I thank you that we're all going to come into the same place. And Father, we praise you and we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yeah, clap again if you want. We can clap. We're free. All right. Acts 4:32-34. Now the multitude of those who believe were one heart and one soul. Now, multitude, what does that mean? There were many. The Holy Spirit is so specific in language. When he uses a certain word, he uses it to make a statement. This was after Pentecost, and there was a sweeping ingathering of souls. It was like I was telling you about in Argentina last week, when we had all these mighty miracles and the tumors melting and all these people walking that couldn't walk. The ingathering of souls, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people were saved. Because why? You see the goodness of God displayed. He's a real God. The multitude of one heart and one soul, neither did anyone say that anything they possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of things that were sold. This is deep covenantal unity. Deep covenantal unity. When you are in covenant, when God makes us a body, he makes us a family. That's why some of you I haven't seen maybe for years, but when I see you, it's just the same. I mean, we have that same love, that same anointing as when Marilyn Norder and I took the map of California, I think in 96, and spread it out in your house, and we decided how we sectioned it off to pray, and I put my finger, I think, on the city of Mariposa, and I said, well, this is the exact middle, and this is what God wants to do, and, you know, so we see the Holy Spirit moving, now filling this state. There's a rumbling in California. You know, in the natural, we can look at it and the drought and all the problems, but don't look at what you see. Faith is that is the substance of things not seen, you know, the evidence, the substance and evidence. And so we have substance, we have evidence, and we see that God is going to do great things. And this passage, as you read it, I love the language. The one heart means to be in tune or in sync with one another. In other words, what I am doing resonates with you. What I am doing is something that we are doing together. I cannot do it without you, and you cannot do it without me. God will not allow us to bring the glory of God through California without one another. Now, I think I can say a little bit of saying without one another and we, because I'm a graduate of Pepperdine University, okay? Yes. And you know, so I kind of paid my dues. My dad planted a church in the San Francisco area, and it was very, very difficult. I mean, the little city we were in voted they didn't want a church. And I remember little prayer meetings, and we couldn't get a permit to build the church. So my mother and father went right across the city limits, you know, on the other side of the street in an old farmhouse, and prayed and prayed and prayed till the city let them in, and they built a church. And so, you know, it was very hard. Our church almost burned. I mean, our house almost burned down. Literally, the fire came right to our house. I was almost killed a few times in bizarre accidents, you know. So I believe that there are prayers that were prayed by my daddy, who died at age 49, dropped dead of a heart attack, but really fought for this state. I believe there's some prayers there that I'm getting to be the answer to today. So breathing together, one mind, one soul. One soul, I love this. I love this in many ways, but it literally means to breathe together. In other words, there's something so harmonious that you literally breathe the same way. That is incredible biblical language. I love this to be a one accord. In fact, the Bible says about this that God gave them an incredible boldness. Look at Acts 4:31. It says, when they prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Boldness in a season of persecution. I prophesied 20 years ago there was persecution coming to the church, and that there would be a day, if we didn't steward government correctly, that pastors would go to jail for preaching from Romans 1 that homosexuality was not of God. And all you have to see is that we have a Supreme Court decision coming down next week. I'm praying and praying. I wish I felt a little better about this battle than I do right now. And I just have to say that, you know, prophets, we can't lie. But I'm praying, because I'm praying for God to do a miracle. Many, many prayer meetings are going on right now. I mean, even Australia, I don't know if you've heard, but Australia is calling for weeks and seasons of prayer for us, the church in Australia, to pray for America. And so, you know, but we're in a season. We're in a season of persecution. And I believe, to some degree, that God is allowing some of this to wake up the church. We have been slumbering. We have been asleep. And I believe God wants us to wake up. He wants us to be a church that's awakened and bold. And somehow, perhaps, we've had it a little too easy. And so we see in the day of Pentecost, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, Acts 2:1, they were in one accord in one place. Again, this literally means to breathe together spiritually. And I looked up and I could see that there were 11 places in one accord is used. So the power of unity is a supernatural anointing. There's something that comes when we get together in one accord that cannot be manifested in any other way. God will not allow his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, except we become, John 17, as it says in 1. So, you know, when the enemy comes in and pressures and the persecutions come, we're not going to care how you take communion. We're not going to care some of these non-essentials in a way. Not that they're not important. Doctrine is important. But the most important thing is, are you born again? Do you believe the word of God to be the inerrant word of God? This is truth, and this is holy truth. It reminds me of the revival in Argentina, and my good friend Ed Savoso says it like this. He said, when the revival came to Argentina, the harvest fields grew so high that no one could see the fences anymore. And that's true. I remember one time in the city of Resistencia where we worked. It was a terribly dark, dark area. There were 70. Were you in with Resistencia, Randy? Were you there? Yeah, I mean, of the 70 churches in the city, all of them had come through church splits. It was a difficult, difficult time. And, you know, and we began to pray and cry out for unity. And one by one, the churches started coming into unity one another. So much so that finally they had a mass baptism. They got horse troughs and pools, and all the pastors of all the churches baptized converts from the Crusades in one night together. It was glorious. And, you know, I remember one night praying for the sick, and the unity was just so tangible. It was such a wonderful night, and God was doing everything. I think we had, I don't know how many we had, about 20,000, but this isn't the biggest city, so that was a big crowd. And we had prayer teams, and the harvest evangelism team had visited house to house to house. And this was a big outdoor meeting where we were crying out for harvest. And one of the fruits of that, I want to say, is miracles. One of the fruits of that is you begin to see a manifestation of the glory of God where no one can say God isn't real. Listen, a humanist is sick and dying and Jesus heals them, then they're not an atheist anymore. And I've seen this happen. And so I was preaching up on those. We have very high platforms, and we would have the intercessors crawl right underneath the platforms. And that was our spiritual nuclear plant. And so, you know, there we were, and it was wild. I mean, we had a big oil drum over here, and people were throwing in their love potions and things. Don't think that's not real. One of the missionaries there decided they were going to mock this love potion thing. It couldn't be real, dabbing it all over himself. His brain started to swell, almost burst out of his head. We had to take him to the doctors, you know, so it was just a hard thing, and it was glorious. I mean, Carlos Anacondia had his delivery, you know, we had a deliverance in, and Carlos had been, you know, doing different things, and people manifest demons. Whenever they burn their amulet or something, they'd be screaming and fall out, and people go throw them in the deliverance tent. I mean, oh, it's so much fun. You can't imagine. This is all so tame. But anyway, you know, so we had these high platforms, and we had the intercessors. You kind of feel them rumbling under there, you know. And if the Macumba started throwing curses or whatever, you know, I mean, I'd be up there preaching. You kind of feel it, the anointing kind of dissipate. You just kind of go, rev it up, you know, and you could feel it. You could feel it coming up, you know, right up through your feet, you know. And then, whoa, I mean, I remember, you just let me reminisce. When you're 60s, you have a lot of memories. But anyway, you know, I remember saying, you know, there's somebody here, you can't walk, in the name of Jesus, walk. And all of a sudden, I see this little girl through the crowd, you know, like the mosh pit. They're over their shoulders, they're holding this little girl, and they're putting him up. And finally, they put her up on that platform, and they handed me this thick, thick body brace. I mean, from here to here, she'd been in a body brace. And it was really great because we'd just been singing this song called "The Man from Galilee is Passing Your Way." You see about 20,000 white handkerchiefs, you know, out there blowing in the breeze. And so anyway, they sent this little girl up, and she's running up and down the platform. Of course, I'm having to wait for the translation. There's a little jet lag going on there, you know. So, you know, there's yelling, saying all this stuff in Spanish. I could probably understand it now, but then, you know, all those years ago, I didn't have a clue. So anyway, and finally, you know, they said to me, This little girl's grandmother brought her. They brought the grandmother to the platform. She could not walk. And this is what she said. I'm going to take you to the meeting tonight, and the man from Galilee is going to heal you. And when you go home, you're going to walk. She went home completely healed. You see, but the unity, you understanding this? This is my point. This is the point of the message. That John 17 unity, that Acts unity, when they prayed, when they began to breathe together spiritually, when they came together as one, when God did that, and that's what's going to happen in California. I mean, you, for Prop 8, you came together, but it's nothing like what is getting ready to happen. You know, somebody tells me God is giving up on California. Prophetically, it just ticks me off because I know that God loves this state in spite of the wickedness going on. And I, for one, have great faith, and you better have great faith too because you got to live here. So, you know, there we were in unity, and I remember I said, there's somebody here who have a metal plate in your head that just turned to bone. This guy is tearing through the crowd, just hitting his head so hard I thought he was going to knock himself out. And he had a metal plate in his head, and it turned to bone. I mean, you know, I was just, last Friday night, I was preaching in a church outside of Buenos Aires, and Peter Wagner had written about this church a lot in some of his books. And I remember, I was thinking the last time I was there, that we'd come. I mean, you have to understand the unity. You just can't. I mean, in the meetings, I remember a Baptist pastor saying, Lord, bless my brother's church more than mine. I mean, that would be like, I don't know if I dare say, because they don't like me very much. Somebody from the Strange Fire Conference, you know, the John MacArthur have, saying, bless the juiciest charismatic out there, okay? You know, this is milagros time. This is miracle. I mean, you know, but it happened. It happened. So this Baptist guy's praying that, Lord, bless my brother's church more than mine. I mean, these guys, Methodist, Plymouth, Brethren, whatever, they got together and they planted a church in another part of Resistencia, and they decided it needed to be a charismatic church because that's what they needed in that part of the city. That's right. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And, you know, and so this split apart, broken city, I just heard has a church of 18,000 people. 18,000 people. You understand? I mean, we were in the 20s and the 30s. People, okay? 18,000 people. It's just amazing. Just amazing. The power of one accord. When people come together. And I want to say to you, listen, there are many tribes in the body of Christ. There were many tribes. There were 12 tribes. When the children of Israel are supposed to take the promised land, I don't know if they even liked each other. I thought about this, you know. Maybe the tribe of Judah, they didn't like him. You know, the others were kind of meditative, you know. But Judah was always yelling and shouting and making all this noise, you know. And maybe some of the others thought, I don't want to live with Judah forever. Forget it. I like silent meditation, you know. I'm listening prayers, you know. And so, you know, but somehow they had to find a way to go in together, right, as one. All the tribes had to be in sync, one heart, one soul. They had to breathe together in order to take the promised land. And I believe that's a picture today, that we're going to have to find a way to lay aside our pet doctrines and come back to the centrality, because when we come to heaven, you know, what's the question? It's not going to be, are you Methodist? Are you Pentecostal? Did you speak in tongues? You know, how did you baptize? No, we're going to be asked one thing. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you born again? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That is the centrality of the gospel. And I want to say, even us charismatic types, we're going to have to learn that some of these other people are really born again. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching so good. We have to be as one. And I believe sometimes, just like when you think about when a woman's going to have a baby, that whole body contracts together, right? I think of it, you know, as we think about ourselves right now, we are in difficult times, aren't we? We're in difficult times, but could it be that God wants to birth something new? He wants to birth a movement of unity so that the world will know that we love Jesus. You know, that if God cannot manifest his love, which he's able, of course, but if we cannot manifest his love, you understand, if we won't allow that to manifest through us, then what hope does the world have? Amen? You know, and you might, well, maybe they might not like you, but you have to like them. We're commanded to love one another. Because if we don't love one another, we don't even know God. So we have to find a way. We have to find a way within our tribes to go to the promised land. California is your promised land. Some of you may not love California so much anymore. Now I'm really got you quiet. Maybe you need to forgive your own state. Yeah. Maybe you really need to think about it a little bit. Maybe you need to forgive and ask God to help you. How can you pray for a state you don't love? You see, part of our weariness can be is we have rejected the land that God called us to bring revival to bring reformation, revival and reformation. The Holy Spirit said, I'm going to reform, and he will do it. You know, God is very, very good at changing nations. And he's going to change this nation. I refuse to give up on it. You know, other people will say, well, God has just left America. Well, why don't they move to another place and start over? You know, I believe that our generation must not fail. So we have to find a way to be as one. We have to come into unity. And we have to care about what God cares. Do you know God loves the world? I'm going to give you a Bible verse. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Now, is the Bible specific in its language? Why didn't God say God loves souls so much? Individuals. Why did he begin with the world in all its entirety, the world in all its fullness, and everything in it that he owns, as it says in Psalm 24:1. Because that was the original mandate. He's to steward the earth. I believe, this may sound wild, that God created the earth just as a colony of heaven. Now, in Jewish times, you know, in biblical times, they'd build a house on, right? Well, God built the planet, populated it. Well, he's God. He can do that, you know. And then he wanted his will to be done, didn't he? On earth as it is in heaven. And so what happened after creation? Unity was broken. Family problems. I want to say something to you, and I hope it brings you comfort. Many times when the promise comes, Satan will come in to try to attack your family. Think about Abraham. God gave all these promises to Abraham, didn't he? Look what happened with Lot. You know, immediately all these things happened. It looked like there was never going to be an Isaac. But God had said, your seed will possess the gates of the enemy. Your descendants will be like the sand of the sea. You see, don't get discouraged between the promise and the fulfillment of the promise. You know, if Satan is sending all these things, problems your way and roadblocks, just say, wow, that is so great, because that must mean I'm going the right way. My husband and I always say, no is not a negative. You know, if we're going to do something and we have a mission, something God is calling us to do, and we have no roadblocks, we get kind of nervous. And we go, this cannot be God. I don't even think we're going the right way, because you know, all hell isn't breaking loose before all heaven breaks loose. Something is definitely wrong here. You know, we better go back and revisit if we're supposed to do this at all. You see, if you're going into the promised land and there's no giants, you're only a tourist. That is not your land. You better go find your promised land, because that ain't yours, as we say in Texas. That ain't yours, okay? So they came in one accord. Matthew 18, 19 and 20. Again, I say, if any of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by our Father in heaven. You know this. But where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. The word agreement here is the word symphony. Being a musician, I love this. You know, I have a degree. I'm a classical pianist, studied with the director of the Burbank Symphony. So when I read this, I understand what it means to be in agreement. One time I was student teaching in Santa Monica, and I was student teaching for a band. And so one thing I know the kids would do to try to trick the substitute teachers is they would exchange instruments. So they couldn't play, so you'd go to conduct and it would just be a cacophony. And so, I mean, I had this other little trick. I'd go look at first chair and say, play me a C minor scale right now. Boom! Everybody would, you know, they'd exchange their instruments, and all of a sudden, we began to make beautiful music together. And, you know, so there was something about being in one accord. I read this, and it was so powerful. It said if one horse could pull 700 pounds and another 800 pounds separately, when they pull together, they can pull 3,000 pounds. Exponentially, there is a strength in unity. You know, think about this. If you had sticks, one stick could be easily broken. But by the time you bind 10 sticks together, you cannot, most of us anyway, cannot break those sticks. This is the picture of the body of Christ. Satan wants to divide us. He wants to divide us so that we will not stand together as one to bring a massive revival. You know, I was talking to a friend who was really a historian about the Azusa Street Revival, and I have not done this hard research myself, but, you know, Harold Caballero, so he's on the Transformations video. He's a pretty good researcher. And Harold said that what he found out really stopped the Azusa Street gathering was that when William Seymour married, his secretary got jealous and she took the mailing list. And because of that, he couldn't call the meetings anymore. He had no mailing list, and it just dissipated the revival. They couldn't tell when meetings were going to be, when speakers were going to be. And so Satan always has a plan to submarine the revival. He always has a plan, but I believe in what God is coming, doing, and happening in America now. And I see this for California. That was where there's so many fires, so many places. You know, it's like if Satan tries to stamp this one out, this one breaks out. You know, you've seen those birthday candles you blow out, poof, they come out. Yeah, that's what my grandchildren do to me. Can you imagine that? Anyway, but I see that. This is the prophetic picture I see. And for this nation, that there are fire starters all over America. You know, I was up at IHOP talking to some of the guys up there starting the Houses of Prayer. I think they said there's some 2,000 college, university campuses in America, and they have Houses of Prayer on around 1,000 already. Now, you know what's going to happen exponentially. That's a rumble, isn't it? There's something happening that is changing things. I mean, you know, you look at Hollywood, they said the year of the Bible last year. Well, I want to tell you why I think some of that is because these kids at Radiance on Sunset Boulevard, Sharon and Jonathan Nye, are there 24 hours every day, right up the street from Whiskey A Go-Go, the Viper Club, and the Roxy, and they're crying out to the Lord for Hollywood 24 hours every day. And they're holding the fort. And so, you know, God answers prayer. Where sin does abound, what does the Bible say? Grace. Grace. Great grace. does much more abound. Where there is unity, God must answer. There comes a moment when the bowls in heaven are filled with the prayers of God's people and they tip. Well, I want to say something. The bowls in heaven over California, no matter how bad it looks, there will come a suddenly moment when the bowls will tip and the glory of God will be seen and manifested in the saving of souls. When it seems that God has slumbered, all of a sudden there is a cry from the church, "Let God arise! Let God arise and his enemies be scattered." Don't think we serve a weak God. Our God is the power of the universe. He holds the world in his hand. And I want to say to you, if you will shake off your weariness from the past season, if you will determine that you believe the word of God more than the lies of the devil, then you will experience great grace, mega grace, supernatural grace, and great power. Put your hands together. That's a good word. So what's it going to take? Ephesians 4. Oh, I love Ephesians. Oh, I just eat it up. The book of the church, 1-3. "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling from which you're called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love." I was meditating on this. I was just devouring this on the plane. "Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." What are the characteristics necessary for unity? Number one, humility. Lowliness. Humility. To use a good Ed Savoso quote, because it's so wonderful, "Pride is like bad breath. You're the last one to know you have it." The good news, if you don't humble yourself, God is very good at humbling you. And believe me, it's better if you humble yourself. Number two characteristic, gentleness or meekness. Meekness is strength. Moses was a meek man, but he wasn't a timid man. I believe God is calling us to be a voice, to speak, not in anger, not in malice, but to speak the truth in love. Number three, long-suffering, displaying patience with one another. People and families, and in the body of Christ, sometimes sin against one another. Is anybody married in here? I've been married to Mike Jacobs almost 42 years, and I love that man. He's gorgeous, he's handsome, smart, brilliant, but occasionally he's such a boy, such a man. I mean, it's like, rah! And I'm sure, and he says the same about me. But we love each other. So we endeavor to keep the bond of peace. Sometimes a little louder than other times. But we keep the bond of peace. And then we just fall in love all over again. You know, but endeavoring, such a good biblical word, endeavor. We must be diligent at keeping peace. Because it does not come naturally, it is a spiritual discipline. An undisciplined body is a weak body. We have got to learn to be spiritually disciplined. We have got to learn to tell our emotions to shut up and let the Word of God take ascendancy. We've got to learn that a soft answer turns away wrath. The Bible verses that say, agree with your adversary quickly. There are things that we have got to grow in character. I believe God is ultimately more wanting to change our character than the things we might do. He wants us to be like him. He wants us to be Christ-like. This is what he wants. Endeavoring music. God wants us to bring us to a place where we walk in agreement to make beautiful music. Now, let me tell you a story. I love to tell stories. One time, I was preaching in Fiji. It was very interesting. I went there. It was one of those historic moments where the pastor came to me and he said, I realize in Fiji we've had some culture after reading your book, Woman of Destiny, that might not be biblical, and I want to change it. For instance, he stood in this church, big, big church there, and he said, from now on, the men and the women are going to eat together in their families. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. I mean, this was real. This was real. He said, from today, we change the culture in this church. I mean, it was that kind of thing going on. But before I came, I had been in Colorado Springs, and he was one of the leaders at the time with Every Home for Christ. And Every Home for Christ, through their gospel distribution, had literally changed the Fijian islands from cannibals. They were cannibals. And through the work of the gospel, you know, those little soldiers, I call tracks, little soldiers, through those tracks, they were evangelized. I mean, many, many people came to Christ in Fiji. And so I'll tell you the story, and we're going to close, and we're going to pray. But we were going from island to island preaching. Beautiful place. And we began to notice something that, you know, this building that I had actually prophesied over one of the leaders in Colorado Springs, I prophesied, you're going to build a building. You know, it's going to be round. It's going to have windows at the top. It's going to have these colors, you know what I mean? And he was building that building. I didn't know he was a pastor at the time. So anyway, we came and we were preaching in the islands for his people, and then we were going to do the big meeting in the big church in Suba. And so as we went from place to place, we noticed that they didn't have any furniture in their houses. And, you know, about the second house we saw like this, I mean, we didn't know, you know, we wanted to be very careful. We didn't know they were just poor, you know, or what was going on. And finally, a pastor told us, he said, we're building our new building in Suba. And he said, and because of that, not because we're coerced, not because anybody asked us, we pastors decided that we are going to sell the furniture in our house, including the refrigerators, the tables. We're going to sell what we have to build that building debt-free. I have never, ever in my life seen that kind of sacrifice. I'm not saying do it. You know, if God doesn't tell you, don't be presumptive. However, this is what they did. And when we got to Suba and we saw the building, you know, it was just beautiful what was being done there. And a man, picked us up. And, you know, we got to know him a little bit. And he told us how even his daughter had taken out her extra clothing. He says, well, I just have too many clothes. Sold her clothing and gave it to the church. So 2 years later, we were back. And it was very interesting because when the building was built, the pastor had built a car park, as they call it, for 165 automobiles. The problem was only about two people owned an automobile. You know, so this man of God is building this parking lot for all these automobiles that didn't exist. And so 2 years later, we came back. This is a true story. And this man was driving a really beautiful SUV. The same one who had told us his story about his daughter and the things they were selling. And so he said this. He said, you know, see this car? He said, somebody gave me this car. It was like a $40,000 vehicle. I think it was about $60 a month income at that time for the Fijian people. And he said, you know, my daughter was given a computer. He said, the one thing that my wife really loved was, you know, one day we left church and she sold our lounge, you know, chair, whatever, their sofa. And so she said that we decided there was this one American set we really wanted. And so we were leaving church one day and there was a truck or lorry in front of them. And it had a set just like that, just like the one they liked. And they said, they started and thought, well, thank you, God. You're just giving us faith. There it is, right before us. And they drove down the street, and finally that they followed that truck all the way home. He said, until they took that living room set out and put it in my living room. You might clap your hands. It was extraordinary, the testimonies. And the car, the parking lot was almost full of cars. I mean, I saw this. So I was sharing this testimony, and I'm not taking an offering, okay, but I'm just telling the testimony. But anyway, I was sharing this testimony in Australia. I was in Brisbane. And this man stood up, and he said, I'm that man. And what she says is true. And she says, not only that, someone just built me a $465,000 house. I mean, now they didn't give. You understand, if they didn't give so that they would, even the Bible says giving it shall be given to you, but they weren't doing it for that reason. They were giving it because they wanted to build the house of God. But you know, God is never in debt to any person. You understand this? God is not a debtor to us. But they were in one accord. You understand this? And that building is now a sign and a symbol in a nation that, you know, is not known as a prosperous nation. And God is beginning to move in Fiji in one accord. They came in such one accord. I remember the minister of fishing and agriculture was there, one of the cabinet positions. And I looked at this woman and I said, the Lord is going to bring people from the east and they're going to build you a new sports stadium. And she looked at me and smiled, you know. I don't know if she thought it was a fruitcake or what, but she smiled. Well, China built them a new stadium. And I prophesied, and it will be used for the glory of God. And Reinhard Bonnke was the first person to preach in that stadium. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. She was a minister of sports then. When I came back later, she was a minister of fishing and agriculture. And at that time, she came to me. She says, we have a problem. Now, this goes back to what I said earlier in the service, that God hasn't stopped being a creator. Remember I said that? And we talked just about creative miracles. We had a few tonight. Well, so she said, our waters are fished out. And she explained different kinds of fish that, you know, they used to be able to fish. Things they'd seen, and they said, you know, people are pirating our waters and stuff. And you know, I mean, they really had pirates there, you know, in Fiji. And so she said, what do I do? I said, well, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And, you know, doesn't matter if there aren't fish. No problem. God could just make more fish. Come on. I mean, some of you, your God's probably bad. Itty-bitty God. No, my God created the universe, and he never resigned from that position. So I said, what do I do? I said, well, your authority over this. Take your shoes off, wade into the water. I mean, biblically, the ocean's part of it. And forgive those who pirated, you know, whatever, and just say, now, Father God, I'm the head of fishing, you know, whatever, and agriculture in this land, and so I forgive those stealing and all this, you know. Did a Hosea 4, 1 through 3 thing, where repented of the stealing, you know, says the Lord has a charge of controversy against the people land because they steal and they murder and all this, and it says the land mourns because of it in verse 3, and then, you know, so she repented, and you know what happened? 2 Chronicles 7:14, after she repented, it says, I will heal your land. I will Rapha your land. That's what the Bible says. And so that's exactly what happened. They started finding certain kinds of fish they had not seen for a long time. The coral reef that was dying started to live, which is an ecological miracle. And the most astounding thing about this, and I want to say intercessors went to all the islands also, the Fijian islands, praying like this, redeeming the land, we call it. One of the most astounding things was in their legends, they had this golden cowrie shell. Golden conch shell. And they had never seen one. They started finding them. And it was such a sign, you know, to the people of the islands that God is a healer, God is a creator, and God cares about them. You know, it was something particularly important to them. But when the body of Christ heard the first thing that had happened and God began to heal the waters, then they began to go throughout the islands. My friend George Otis Jr. started working at that time also, and they started going all to these islands, praying, asking God to forgive, asking God to heal the land. When they got as one, when they came into unity, many things happened. Salvations happened, healings happened, provisions happened, and God begins to heal the land supernaturally. Stand up, please, if you would. Amen? Put your hands together. That's a great word. Amen. I believe God can start something in Camarillo. Thousand Oaks. There's such an anointing I feel. I've been here many years. Through the years, but I have never felt what I feel now. God is choosing this region to be the spark that lights the fire that changes California. God is doing it, and He's going to do it. Lift your hands. Father, I thank You for this night. Lord, we say as one, as one. As one, we come into agreement. We lock our shields. We lock our shields, Father God. And we say, You will reform. You will reform. Come on, say, You will reform. California shall be saved. Just decree it again. Let your voice hear it. California shall be saved. We believe there's a spark that ignites. A revival, a reformation from this region. Do it, Lord, as one, as one, as one. In the name of Jesus, just clap your hands. Amen. Amen. Come on, amen. Amen. Woo. Well, this is the beginning. Tomorrow night I'm going to teach on the glory of God, and we're going to loose the glory of God. So you don't want to miss that. And you know, you think we saw some great things tonight. No, it's going to be a lot more tomorrow night. Amen. But let's give a shout before we go out this evening. Amen. Amen.